Religion on the Line. 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality, faith, hope, love, or the hot buttons of today. Talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and also KMAJ over at 1440 AM in Topeka. This is the time when we gather together for conversation. You call 816-576-7710, and we'll respond, we'll engage, we'll share, we'll listen about what is on your mind about faith, religion, politics, their intersection, but more important, about what is touching your soul and heart and mind. Give us a call, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City and Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Well, Michael, at long last, here, rain has come. We've been wanting it, we've been needing it, and finally it showed up. And whatever is going on, we hope Chicago is as pleasant as Kansas City is right now. It's going to be a little bit soggy for the football game, maybe a little bit, but
for the all-powerful Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, there we go. Yep.
Yeah. You know, Bill may not know that one time we were directly opposite the Chiefs' broadcast, and they begged
us to move our time. Yeah, yeah, we were killing them.
Yeah, that's right.
They couldn't take it. They said, "Get off this hour, please." So I don't know what they paid to make that happen.
Yeah.
But it's all true in our imagination, Bill.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
We were blessed to get off that hour. Well, at any rate, Michael, this is a I'd like to talk about the Vietnam War piece that's going to be on tonight, mm-hmm. and the religious/spiritual aspects of that. And just to alert people, it's going to be a long kind of trek. It's 18 and a half hours, I believe. And,
but not at all one shot.
No. I think it's 2 hours tonight. But I think it's going to take place over the course of a week or so. Maybe it's once a week. I cannot remember if it's going to be on several nights or if it's just once a week. But the first debut episode is tonight. And I will say something about that. What is on your mind today?
Well, series by Ken Burns and what's the
Lynn Novick.
You know, I'm fascinated by the enormous attention because, you know, this is one of the great documentary teamwork filmmakers of any time. And I'm fascinated as well by my reactions. I have no desire to watch it.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's because, guess what, folks?
You live through it.
Live through it and know the wounds that continue to impact individual lives and our country.
Yeah.
But it comes clearly, not just highly recommended, but overwhelmingly critically acclaimed already, et cetera.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Cause I take it, Bobby, you are going to watch, right?
I am
going
to watch. I went to an opening introduction to it, debut of some snippets of episodes. Priscilla and I went down to the Uptown Theater, packed out. Floor was packed out. Balcony was virtually full. And there were people who walked out at the back, a few, because Ken Burns and Lynn Novick interviewed some Viet Cong members. And just said, how dare them?
Really?
You know, only tell it from an American perspective, in other words. Mm-hmm. I can imagine the biggest faux pas of the evening to me was when Bank of America, one of the corporate sponsors, said, "We're glad to bring you the American, the Vietnam War." And I wanted to say, And I want to say, all you had to do is put comma again after that, and it would have been one of the truest statements of the evening, because Bank of America was involved in much of the financing vis-a-vis the metro, the military-industrial complex. They were often the site of protest in the Bay Area, where protesters would go. They'd go to the Bank of America building.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So,
maybe they're trying to make some atonement.
Make amends. Yeah. It didn't sound like it, but behind closed doors, who knows what's going on. But, you know, the funders are across the political spectrum. The people interviewed in the piece are interviewed across the spectrum. I think, again, what happens in Ken Burns' pieces is that people emerge that you don't know, you've never met, and they become heroic in their own, in our hearts and minds, not in their lives. They don't say that they're heroic. I think of Buck O'Neill on the baseball series. David McCullough and his voice in the Civil War series. But also in this, you'll see a guy named Musgrave, a Japanese-American soldier whose last name I cannot remember. I'll look it up during a break, who is phenomenally impressive. And one of the pieces toward the end is about the wall and its effect on people and how people reacted as that was put in Washington, D.C., installed as a moment for healing. And it's very, very powerful. So, I think, Michael, there'll be a lot of people. I've been there, done that. I don't want the T-shirt, and I'm done with it. But we're not done with it as a nation. We're not, in my opinion. And I'm urging people to see it.
Well, you're certainly right about the commentary that it still impacts the body politic and beyond of American consciousness. That is for sure. I'm confident that you'll give us some feedback next week about the experience.
Yeah.
What's that Voltaire says, that those who are ignorant of history are doomed to repeat it?
Santayana, actually.
Oh, is it Santayana?
Yeah, Santayana said that. So
Voltaire would have liked to have said it.
Oh, okay.
And he probably thought he said it. Probably thought he said everything that to come in the future, he said. Yeah. Well, Michael, what is on your mind other than the Ken Burns film? Lynn Nobles.
Sure. Well, several items, and I suspect we're going to need to get to break to come back to some of them. But on Wednesday evening begins the commemoration on the Jewish calendar called Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, the new year, the Jewish year, time for that ushers in 10 days of reflection and introspection toward the rendezvous that's often understood as the most sacred day in the Jewish calendar, Yom Kippur, 10 days later. Synagogues will be Christmas, New Year, and Easter packed during this time. And I say that intentionally in the sense of whatever one's regular attendance, an extraordinary number of folks feel that this is a time when they need to be there. I heard a friend lecturer this week say, the job of Rosh Hashanah for all of us who are there is to make Rosh Hashanah less important.
Mm.
Yeah, which I thought was a wonderful turning upside down. Yeah. As an old congregant once said, you know, if you come all year, you don't need to come on Rosh Hashanah.
You know, did you have members that wouldn't come on the High Holy Days?
Sure.
We had regular members who were faithful, who were generous, and they did not come on Easter because, you know, they wanted to leave a place for somebody else. And
that they might feel that they wanted to be part of a worshiping community rather than an audience.
Yeah, they might have thought that. I think they didn't like crowds either, so...
Yeah, those are challenges, but it is. There may be some commentaries about specific family traditions that folks who are in our listening audience may want to share, and or some questions simply about what these holy days are about for Jewish tradition. It begins. There'll be a new moon on Wednesday night. I guarantee it, whether we can see it or not.
Yeah.
But that, you know, because it is affixed to the lunar calendar when it comes.
All right, Michael, you were right. We're going to take a break now. We're going to get back to several more of your suggestions for conversation and bills and mine, and we're going to take a break and pay some bills. We'll be right back after these messages.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper for its calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your plan when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's BollAndBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
Join KCMO Talk Radio for the Paws on the Prairie 5K Run Walk Saturday, September 30th. Sign up today at pawsontheprairie5k.org to join us on this picturesque course of Midwest scenery with a kid zone, petting zoo, and more. Your donation can help Warrior's Best Friends select homeless dogs from Great Plains SPCA to train and transform them into service dogs to help soldiers returning home from battle recover physically and emotionally. Brought to you by Wholesale Batteries and Liberty Roofing. Proud to salute America's wounded warriors.
Better Horses Network is the premier broadcast channel for horses, ranching, and all things Western. Better Horses Network consists of people, brands, and professionals who strive to be at the top of their game in the world of horses and ranching. Broadcasting across America and the globe, when you want to target your message to those who love the world of ranching, the great outdoors, and all things equine, Better Horses Network exists for you. Welcome to Better Horses Network.
We've got lots to work on, but the trade deficit isn't one of them.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
Last year, the United States had a trade deficit of about $500 billion, which some people claim is a problem. But is having a trade deficit even a problem for a country? Well, I imagine that most of you run a large trade deficit every month. That is, you buy much more from stores than the stores buy from you. Do you view this as a problem? Are you threatening to withhold buying stuff from stores until they buy more stuff from you? Of course not, because it doesn't matter what your trade deficit is. What matters is that your income matches your spending, at least in the long run. So instead of worrying about trade deficits, let's focus on freeing markets and raising productivity, two tried and true things that will make our economy great again.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Stimulating talk for Kansas City.
Thank you very much for allowing average Americans to voice their opinion.
Thank you for allowing me to speak on this.
KCMO Talk Radio.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, KMAJ as well, 1440 AM. Welcome. Glad to talk about spirituality, faith, belief, and all the rest. And may throw in a couple of questions or more. Give us a call, 576-7710, 576-7710. put a 816 or a 913 in front of that if you're calling long distance. I'm Reverend Robert Lehiel, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City and Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Michael, you were saying...
I was and I am, so there. So I was just interested to note that the Pope once more affirmed that he's wrong on climate change, just like so many of us. Francis said, that was meant to be ironic. Francis said, scientists have clearly charted what needs to be done to reverse course on global warming and said individuals and politicians had a, quote, moral responsibility, end quote, to do their part. The headline, I'm sure he didn't say, assails doubters of humans' role on climate. But it was in connection with the hurricanes that the Pope is quoted as making this comment, and I'm among those many who agree we need to act and act yesterday. That raises contretemps that I think it'd be wonderful if we can be a model of something different in our culture. The dust up about the Senate hearing on the nominee for an appellate court appointment of Amy Coney Barrett, a law professor at Notre Dame. You guys familiar with this one?
No, no.
Senator Durbin and Senator Feinstein have been called out for their questioning of her in that she is a serious Catholic in her own practice, and given her writings as a nominee for the Seventh Court of Appeals, what role that would play in her judicial decision-making. And this is from an edit. There was a lot of coverage.
Okay.
In some
yeah,
of
no, I'm familiar, yeah.
Yeah, this is an op-ed piece from the New York Times by Jeffrey Stone and Eric Siegel, I'm not sure how the pronunciation, both of whom are professors of law, and I thought this was well put. As Ms. Barrett thoughtfully observed in a 1998 Law Review article on this subject, quote, Catholic judges must answer some complex moral and legal questions in deciding whether to sit in death penalty cases. Judges, she wrote, cannot nor should they try to align our legal system with the church's moral teaching whenever the two diverge. And I think that's one of the real issue challenges of, you know, because clearly for all of us, and this show regularly demonstrates when folks call in with a conviction that because my tradition teaches X, therefore everyone needs to be on that page versus what the law says. So I think it's a very valuable conversation to have about do we simply say, I've got to recuse myself from that discussion. Here's where I understand the law and my faith to overlap and distinguish each other. How do I engage in that, especially when I would take a public role as an appellate court judge in this case? I think that's a very worthwhile one to worry about. This one really distressed me because I think it suggests, what shall I say, a lot of work to do yet in the American body politic. A mayoral candidate in Charlotte, North Carolina, listed being, quote, white as one of her qualifications.
I saw that. That was amazing.
Yeah, Kimberly Page Barnett described herself as Republican and smart, white, traditional, prompting GOP leaders, I'm going to add, thank God, to distance themselves from her campaign.
Yeah.
Barnett also pledged to crack down on demonstrations because they scare people. Okay. Thank you very much. I certainly hope she doesn't have any chance.
Yeah.
I think I shared this one with you. This is the Public Religion Research Institute and the Pew Research Center findings. The polls show that since 2012, the share of Americans who describe themselves as spiritual but not religious has surged from 19% to 27%. Well, the share of those who call themselves religious and spiritual has declined from 59% to 48%, a dramatic change for a mere 5 years, and it builds on longer-term trends. I have to admit, I'd be delighted if somebody could tell me what it means to be spiritual but not religious, other than that I don't want to be part of a community where I have to have a moral and a yeah. monetary contribution. But so it goes.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if folks might want to pick on that. And here's my last one. You know, Hillary Clinton came out with her I guess it's a memoir. I haven't read it. I don't really have any plans to. What Happened is the title.
Yeah.
And in one particular review, the reviewer cites her commentary on David Foster Wallace's famous speech at the 2005 Kenyan commencement. This is Water, I think, is the title that it's often titled.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the end of that speech. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. For many, that choice turns out to be government or politics or political power.
Hmm. Who said that?
Hillary Clinton.
I didn't hear you.
No, who said that? What to worship?
David Foster Wallace.
But she was quoting
a gifted writer who, alas, took his own life shortly thereafter, in fact.
But she was quoting him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the reviewer is quoting David Foster Wallace.
I see.
In effect, in a...
elusive way.
A critique of Clinton's focus.
Yeah. I got it.
But what I think is important in there is, I happen to agree, he's absolutely correct. Everybody worships, as opposed to, I'm spiritual but not religious. What we worship Ralph Waldo Emerson, it behooves us to be careful what we are worshiping, for what we are worshiping we are becoming.
And Michael, you know, in David Brooks on the PBS NewsHour on Friday night talked about the anti-institutionalist, people who want to eschew any kind of group or community belonging and thus accountability, I would say. You said they just don't like what? Be part of groups and where they
may not
moral...
want to pay
financial support or moral engagement.
Community. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can get some responses to that from people who want to say, I'm an anti-institutionalist and I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
I guess I would point to say, where in history has that proved to be very effective? And in one's life, I think we're anchored by institutions, actually. So we have to take a break. We're going to be right back. You know what? We're not. We're going to go to a caller real quick, just to start this conversation. Nathan, you've got religion on the line. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Hope you guys are all having a good morning. I guess I have just a quick question for all three of you guys.
You bet.
Jesus says to love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. But I just conflicted because, you know, if someone was to break into my house and, you know, try to hurt my family, you know, I'd do everything I could to stop them. And then just furthermore, you know, during the American Revolution, men went to war and died and fought for our rights and freedoms. You know what I mean? So I'm just real perplexed on, you know, where that line is, where your human rights begin to protect yourself and defend yourself for your rights and freedoms. And I don't know, just where, you know, loving your enemy and stuff like that. I don't know.
You've got one of the big conundrums of religious life and what it means to be a moral person, because can you hold on, Nathan? We've got your question out and just hold on, okay? All right, hold on. We're going to be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line.
Trying to decide where to locate your business, wouldn't the taxes you pay be a major factor?
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rick Hafer.
Missouri's corporate tax rate of 6.25% is a lot lower than many other states. But businesses pay more than just corporate income taxes to do business in the Show Me State. the Tax Foundation compared the total tax rate a typical business would pay across all 50 states. Not only corporate income taxes, but also property taxes, sales taxes, and taxes for unemployment insurance. Based on this comparison, Missouri does not fare too well. A corporate headquarters in Missouri pays lower taxes in 24 other states. Taxes facing a retail store in Missouri ranks as one of the worst. And if you run a research and development firm, only Rhode Island levies a higher total tax rate. Lowering business taxes will grow business and create jobs in Missouri.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
CBS News updates. A second suspect has been taken into custody in the London investigation of the Friday commuter train attack. CBS's Larry Miller.
Anti-terrorist police arrested a 21-year-old man just before midnight in Hounslow, West London. Police say the arrest is linked to Friday's bomb attack on a subway train. The initial arrest was of an 18-year-old yesterday at the port city of Dover. He's believed to have planted the bomb, which only partially exploded. Both men are being interrogated at London police stations.
BBC correspondent Anissa Kadri at Scotland Yard.
The man they've arrested is 21 years old, and he remains in custody at a South London police station. And police are also questioning the man that they arrested earlier yesterday, an 18-year-old man in Dover. So this is a fast-moving investigation, and police are continuing to ask for footage and images from the day of the attack to help them move forward.
Neither suspect has been charged nor identified. CBS News Update, I'm Gary Nunn.
KCTV Storm Track 5 forecast.
A few showers possible this morning, maybe a rumble of thunder as well. Temperatures are going to be a lot cooler, only around the upper 70s for highs. During the afternoon, another slight chance for a passing shower. The evening looks cloudy, but mainly dry. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Ronan Williams.
Register to win lunch for your office. I'll deliver it with Grandma's. You can win lunch for 20, courtesy of Grandma's Office Catering and KCMO. Get 100 meals in 3 hours from Grandma's. Order at grandmascatering.com or call 816-GRANDMA today.
Suburban lawn and garden, growing with you.
Need a tree? I'm the guy who can plant it for you. I work for Suburban Lawn and Garden. It's easy. No, not the planting part. That's the hard part. The easy part is choosing. That's what you get to do. Just visit one of our three stores. We'll help you pick out a tree that's best for you and your home. And we have more trees than anyone. Our staff will call the utilities and we'll deliver the tree, dig the right size hole, add soil amendments if needed, place the tree, stake it, and mulch it. You might not know that at Suburban Lawn and Garden, we grow most of our own trees right here in the Kansas City area. So these trees are born knowing how to thrive in our Midwestern weather. In fact, Suburban will guarantee your trees for 2 full years. Hey, there's even a sale going on right now. So come on out to Suburban Lawn and Garden and plant a tree the easy way. 3 locations, Overland Park, South Kansas City, and Lenexa.
Suburban Lawn and Garden, growing with you.
Listen carefully to this investor alert from Protecting Your Retirement. Are you one of thousands recently told by your broker or fee advisor that they will no longer provide personal service because your assets are below their new minimum requirements? Call Don Wales and his team at Protecting Your Retirement. They are KC area's no fee, no minimum assets, no market risk, face-to-face financial professionals, and they intend to stay that way. They will never push you off to a robot or pool advisor. Protecting Your Retirement. 913-648-2700.
The Crossroads KC Beer Fest is coming Saturday, October 21st, featuring 24 breweries and over 70 craft flavors. Live local music starts at 5 p.m., and tickets are on sale now for only $28, including unlimited free beer tastings. Must be 21 to purchase tickets. Details at crossroadskc.com.
KCMO Talk Radio cares for KC.
Hi, I'm Dan Doty from City Union Mission, inviting you to help us strike out KC hunger. Last year, our amazing volunteers at City Union Mission passed out over 256,000 meals to the homeless in need right here in Kansas City. Your gift of any amount helps us continue our mission in tackling KC hunger. Volunteers are always needed at the mission, and you can always make a cash donation of any amount at cityunionmission.org.
For more on what's happening in our community and how you can get involved, visit caringforkc.com.
Listen to this.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk is on FM 103.7 and AM 710.
We listen all day.
I like being informed.
Now what we say really makes a difference.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 AM 103.7 FM, KMAJ 1440 AM as well. Welcome. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City and Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
I think Nathan? Yeah, Nathan's gone.
Well, hopefully he's still listening.
But we'll get to his question and respond. So, Michael, you want to take a crack at it?
Bill's happy ready to try. By the way, during the break, I was catching up on the Sunday New York Times, and in the section called Sunday Review, they have a range of commentators, and one whom I rarely read is Nicholas Kristof. I decided to read it today because the title of his column, whether he gave it to it or not, who the heck knows on that stuff, right? Enough Already Said God. And I thought, you know, it sort of fit with, what was the name of our caller?
Nathan.
Nathan? It's a purported dialogue between Jim Baker, who's back on TV. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is.
And God.
Yeah.
And so I will email it to the two of you guys, and I recommend it's a challenge for any and everybody, including in terms of our topic that Nathan brought to our attention, because, blessed are the peacemakers is one of the items that is certainly worth raising up that's in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And if it were easy, it wouldn't need to be blessed or blessed, you know. That's part one, it seems to me. And I think part two is, what is the most effective way to make sure that our means don't distort what we become, whether we succeed or fail? And I think that's among the challenges that every human being faces when they resort to a default of a violent response to violence. Albeit, I don't think I'm not even a non-Orthodox Christian, but so the notion that a passivism is always the correct response, I don't agree with.
Okay? Yeah.
But I do think we there's much to learn from. Forgiveness is not the same thing as saying you've done nothing offensive or wrong. It means I will not allow this to eat me.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm thinking of the Amish specifically, in when the family was murdered.
Yeah, and they forgave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys throw in more.
Bill has a response.
Well,
and I do too.
Well, in ethics, there's this concept called the principle of double effect, in which you do something that's evil, but your intent is not to do that which is evil. That is just a side, a consequence. So, like, for instance, you have an infection in your foot, and the doctor says, I have to cut off, I have to cut off the lower part of your leg or you're going to die. Well, your intent's not to maim yourself, which would be an evil thing. It wouldn't be okay to amputate a perfectly healthy leg just for the kicks of it, no pun intended. But your intent is the good. So that would come into play here, where your intent is not to harm your enemy and kill him, but rather to stop the evil that he intends. And I guess I'd ask Nathan, well, what makes you say that you're not loving your enemy by using force to stop him from doing a terrible, evil thing? You're trying to keep him from hurting you or hurting your family, in the spiritual sense. You could even say, hey, I'm trying to stop you from doing a bad thing. But I don't think it's going to feel too loving when you shoot the guy. Bob's kind of grimacing.
This logic is, I'm going to kind of get at it in a little bit, Bill. I think that's assuming much more of a high moral ground than is warranted.
For sure. But just to wrap it up, the intent is to stop the evil. But if you let's say you stop the guy, let's say you shot him and he fell down and he didn't die, you would not have the right to go and finish the job off. And often, actually, I use this analogy when I'm talking about the death penalty, because the Catholic Church's teaching on the death penalty is it's a means to an end to protect the common good. And for most of our history, the choice that most governments faced was, do we let our murderer back on the streets, or do we stop this person so that he can never murder again? And the modern state, because we have the ability to imprison someone for a lifetime, the death penalty is no longer as necessary as it once was. So then the question is, well, if we can still protect people, without having to kill this guy, why do we have to kill this guy? And I often use this analogy of, like, hey, once you've stopped the assailant from hurting you and your family, you don't then have the right to go and kill them, once you've subdued him. So anyway, but Bob's got a probably better answer to this question than me.
I don't know better. I just different and
more nuanced.
I think to say I'm doing this for your own good, therefore I'm going to shoot you, is very dangerous.
Yeah.
Not just from an in the moment perspective, but in a preemptive way. That has justified a lot of horrible, horrible actions, and you know, that's the basis of craziness in some folks who say this really is for the better good, therefore I'm going to murder you. So we can't do that. But in a defensive position, I think a family and any individual has a right to defend their family. I'm with Michael and that I'm not a pacifist. I think that I was at one point a long time ago. I was telling Bill during the break about when I kind of gave up pacifism along the way, and it was a long time ago, but then it was kind of cemented after probably 9/11. But I don't think that we get a pass on anguishing over our actions, meaning we cannot feel, just sanguine about or giddy and glad that we've killed somebody ever. It's a tragedy. It makes somebody, renders them without a fatherless, or they're motherless, or they're childless, or they're one less child. That when violence is rendered, it may absolutely be necessary to defend your family, to defend your country, to defend your neighborhood or whatever. But we shouldn't do it with self-righteousness. We do it because it's necessary. And then in the wake of any human being's passing, we're either relieved, but then we've got to be anguished for their family.
Yeah.
Or we're anguished about their life being cut short or cut out. And so I think that blessed are the peacemakers applies to those people who are pacifist, and it applies also to those people who are not pacifist. As Michael said, I like that, Michael. If it was easy, everybody would do it, and it would be not so much blessed anymore. It's a tough thing. So anyway, we've got we're going to get to you, Mike, after the break, okay? We're not going to do what we did last time, but we're going to get to Mike. Mike's called in maybe about this, maybe about something else. But I do think that the question of violence or nonviolence is very, very difficult. It is not it's not in the shallow end of the pool, and it will be with us for a long, long time. It'll be with us, I think, our entire lives. So,
this side of heaven,
576-7710 is the number to call, and we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. but this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
Better Horses Network is the premier broadcast channel for horses, ranching, and all things Western. Better Horses Network consists of people, brands, and professionals who strive to be at the top of their game in the world of horses and ranching. Broadcasting across America and the globe, when you want to target your message to those who love the world of ranching, the great outdoors, and all things equine, Better Horses Network exists for you. Welcome to Better Horses Network.
Dave here. Folks, if you want to save some serious money on your energy bills, call my friends at Window World of Kansas City, home of the original $189 window. I trust these guys to take great care of my listeners. In just over 14 years in business, they've improved the look and thermal efficiency of over 31,000 homes in Kansas City. I also trust Window World's energy-efficient replacement windows to be a wise investment for your home. Window World uses a double-strength glass that gives it a strength not commonly used in replacement windows. In fact, they're so durable you could physically stand on them. Folks, it doesn't get better than Window World of Kansas City. Visit their showroom in Lenexa and Grain Valley, or call today for a free in-home estimate, 816-799-0820. That's 816-799-0820 or windowworld.com. Window World, simply the best for less.
APW Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling is where you'll find the Dixie difference. The rainy season is here, and it's time for you to think about your sump pump. When was the last time you had it inspected? The Dixie difference means that we can give you the peace of mind you want when the rain comes. Give us a call at APW Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at 913-825-6600 or on the web at apwplumbing.com. And listen to APW Help for Homes radio show every Sunday at noon.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Bull & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Bull & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to bullandbranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's bullandbranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app, so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper for its calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts, and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your plan when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
KCMO Talk Radio cares for KC.
Hi, I'm Dan Doty from City Union Mission, inviting you to help us strike out KC hunger. Last year, our amazing volunteers at City Union Mission passed out over 256,000 meals to the homeless in need right here in Kansas City. Your gift of any amount helps us continue our mission in tackling KC hunger. Volunteers are always needed at the mission, and you can always make a cash donation of any amount at cityunionmission.org.
For more on what's happening in our community and how you can get involved, visit caringforkc.com.
If we seem a little harsh,
I'm not making excuses.
We're just telling you like it is.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, KMAJ, 1440 AM. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. Give us a call, 816-576-7710 or 913 in front of that, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And why don't we go to Mike? Mike, you've got Religion on the Line. Good morning.
Good morning.
in responding to the talk about diversity. And then last week you revisited it and was talking about celebrating diversity again. So maybe this will be the last time I call on the subject, hopefully. But I want to say, when you talk about celebrating diversity, white supremacy is part of diversity. Pedophiles are part of diversity. Rapists are part of diversity. So the idea of celebrating diversity seems a little nonsensical to me.
To you, yeah. Yeah, I see how you would think that would be nonsensical. Could it be diversity within the normal framework of good relations between human beings?
Well, then you're
not. Is that even possible for you?
Then you're not talking about. Well, of course that's possible for me. But that's not celebrating diversity.
What do you have against diversity? What do we lose?
Did I say I had anything against diversity?
Well, the way that you're talking sounds like you do.
I said I don't.
You want to argue against it?
No, I argue against the idea we said should celebrate diversity. For example, should I celebrate that they're atheists?
I think we're getting into a nonsensical conversation.
No, we're not.
Is there a possibility?
I asked a question.
We don't celebrate those things, and of course you know. It's rhetorical, Mike. That's offensive to all of us. We wouldn't celebrate those things.
Well, although I do celebrate, I can live in a country where people have the freedom to embrace or walk away from an embrace of faith.
Yes, and
I do
that
have
means
to celebrate
we're celebrating
that.
A but principle we
my,
have.
If I may, I remember as a little kid when, especially because I was part of a group that was still subject to, and in our society nowadays, some voices are raising up again, of being excluded, perceive because of what I was, not who I was, but what I was, as somehow outside of the mainstream and not worthy of being considered part of the stream at all. I remember that.
Yeah.
So, for me, I also remember when, I think we had one television station, they used to do a thing where Lionel Hampton and Benny Goodman and some did a concert at Carnegie Hall. And it was a big deal because it was the first time a white person, a Jewish person, and a black person were on the same stage. And I think that's worth not only celebrating but building upon. I think that's what we mean, even as you are making an outstanding point for debate. Namely, there's things that are that we wouldn't want to celebrate simply because they're different. But what I think we're trying to say is there's something precious and wonderful about living in a world in which we all don't have to be on the same page to affirm each other.
Yes,
that's worth celebrating.
There's always areas. Now, there's areas you can support because you agree. There's areas you say, well, it sort of doesn't make any difference, doesn't hurt. It's benign. Then there's ones you allow the people to do it, but we're not going to have laws against it. But then there's areas this is the old principle of tolerance. How much can be tolerated from the normal standard without hurting society?
I want to be here because I have the right to be here. Not that you've tolerated me, and I think we're getting closer to an understanding of what each other means.
Now, let me give you an example of where I think this is going. Back in the 1970s, there was criticism of, was Christianity true? Then a bunch of apologists emerged, Evidence Demands a Verdict and others, that pretty much held their own in any discussion of that. But now it's changed. Instead of saying, is it true, saying, is it good? And so you have people like the Southern Poverty Law Center, because the Kennedy missions from D. James Kennedy or Family Research Council or Concerned Women for America are against same-sex marriage or they're against abortion. They are hate groups. Southern Poverty Law Center puts them in the hate groups thing. And so because they don't have that diverse opinion. Yeah, they're diverse. They are diverse from the Southern Poverty Law Center, and that means they're bad. And so their beliefs are bad. And so that's where the change has been. Is it true? No.
Whoa, Mike. Yeah. You have also often argued points of view that you think that someone who diverges from them is wrong. I'm not going to use bad or good, but is wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong, but not evil.
But isn't it wonderful that we can argue about that? I think that's what Bob was referring to, even as he was referring to a wonderful moment, quoting somebody else about a moment where people of different backgrounds came together. Now, here's where we probably are on the same page, to express a common humanity and connection one to the other.
And
well,
may have done it, Mike.
Common humanity is the opposite of diversity.
I use the word on purpose because that's not obvious.
And the other thing is,
common humanity is not diversity, it's common.
Okay. You know, but they were diverse, and they're going to go back to, and they were doing their acts out of their particularities. And I guess that's what, I mean, what's wrong with people being, it's not relativism. It's not an attack on thought. It's not an attack on people to say, if you link arms together to save a person from a flooded car, isn't that beautiful? What's wrong with saying that it's beautiful? And to do it, by the way, not by saying they forgot about who they are.
I want you to stop twisting what my point was when you brought that up. I said they came together not out of diversity. It wasn't diversity works. Yeah. Is because they had a common goal of helping someone.
And see, I think we're
and you're saying what's wrong with
God willing, we all end up on the same page, helping others.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he's trying to paint mine as, well, I don't like diversity. I don't like people coming together to save someone. That's what you're doing, Reverend Hill. I'm not a dummy. I can hear.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying what's wrong with people being different, very different, not believing the same things in their theologies, in their personal commitments, and where they come together out of those particular commitments.
Look,
and that's where the common is to save somebody.
Let me put.
That's what I mean by celebrating diversity.
Let me try one more time. I lived in Brazil for 8 years. My wife is Brazilian. There's many things that are different there that I loved, and I miss people if I ever have a chance. When I have a chance to visit, I visit these people that I really miss. I love their food, too. But I don't like the fact that candomblé and voodoo are a big part of their religious thing, and I'm not going to celebrate it because they have a right.
We probably agree with you. That's not the kind of thing that's worth celebrating. But their food is different, and you like it.
Yes.
Mike, we're going to continue this. I don't think we're done with this conversation, but we're done for right now. Talk to you later. We're going to take a break. We're going to pay some bills, listen to some news, and come back after a little bit. Hear it. Religion on the Line, 576-7710.
Tune in to the launch of Today's Dollar radio show this Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 with Ron Esserate and D.C. Couch. They will be providing you education about your money today and Ron's message of the day. That is the new Today's Dollar show, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Hi, I'm Jay Ashcroft. Here at the Secretary of State's office, we take the integrity of our elections seriously. Last November, Missourians agreed and passed Constitutional Amendment 6. Missouri's new photo ID law is now in effect. Have questions about the new voter ID law or need to register to vote? We're here to help. Visit showittovote.com or call 866-868-3245. Remember, if you're registered to vote, you can vote.
Sponsored by the Missouri Secretary of State's office.
FM 1037 and AM 710. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
America is ours. We the people. We're the government. Shame on you.
It'd be really interesting to see what happens.
Kansas City's KCMO.
KCMO AM 710, Kansas City.
101.1 FM, KCFX, HD2, Harrisonville.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk. KCMO.